Well, it is good to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles again to the book of Revelation, chapter number 8 tonight. I will have to say it is good to see the teenagers moving up to almost the front row. I don't know if it's because Grace's birthday's today and she's an official adult now. So you got to get registered to vote. All those good things. Yeah, that's the scary part. But I like seeing people up close. If you were to go to my brother's church in Alabama on a Wednesday night, you would see something that would just kind of blow your mind away. They have a longer auditorium than we do. It's probably about as twice as long as this. And not nearly. It's probably about just the same width of it. But when you show up there on Wednesday night, there's probably about 10 people there. And guess where they all sit? They all sit in the back. And I feel sorry for Pastor Grinstead because, I mean, it's lonely up there. And I usually try to move up one row when I'm there to make it look a little bit better. But I'm just glad you guys have done that. So thank you guys. I don't know what happened tonight, but maybe it was the sunshine that came out that brought that upon you. Or they're trying to, why do we come up here? Because of what? You were told to. You weren't told to? Well, see, you got to speak up. That way I know what you're really saying. It's hard to get that out of you. All right. Well, hey, it's good to be here tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. Today, about 2:30, I kid you not, I was already prepped and ready for tonight's message. I was going to go in a different direction, and I was kind of going back and forth with it last night, early this morning, and I was wanting to add some more things to it. And about 2:30 this afternoon, God began to work in my heart and say, basically said this, Chad, I don't want you to go to this direction. I want you to go with this direction. And we've been dealing the last several weeks about a toxic believer, but I haven't really given you anything to help us to be a help to a toxic believer. And this came up because a thought was spurred in my mind about a week ago when Brother Nick Zarella was here, and we were having dinner with him Saturday night, and he was talking about how the subjects that he was already wanting to preach on was already taken up. And I remember listening to a pastor's word. He says, how about you speak on the performance of it? Because we've already heard everything else, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, that's a great thought. And so with that being said, that began to spur something in my mind this afternoon, which God just gave me such clarity of how to go. And tonight we're going to really come full circle with what we started out in Revelation chapter 8 about maybe 7-8 weeks ago. But I'm also not going to end this series. I'm going to end this particular series, but we're going to pick up 2 weeks from now, and we're going to deal with how a believer should be acting in a church towards each other. We're going to be dealing probably about 10 weeks. I'm actually going to start off with the pastor and their responsibility. Just to give you a brief summary of that, I'm going to give it a word. It's called trim. It's going to be teaching. It's going to be, what's the other word? Relating. The other one is inspiring. The other one is ministry. Then the other word is going to be specifically for the believer, and that word is going to be speedy. And I'll share those with you as we go through that process, and I'm looking forward to that. So let's go ahead and go back to the book of Revelation, chapter number 8 tonight, and we're going to read these two verses, verse number 10, and we're going to read verse number 11. And then I'm going to have you turn your Bibles later on, and I'm going to have you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And then after we go to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see some helpful things tonight. Let's have a word of prayer before we even begin reading. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here today. God, I pray that you would just begin to work in our hearts. Lord, we've dealt with a subject that is, Lord, it is something that needs to be dealt with, but Lord, at the same time, we need to be a help to those that may be toxic or may have become toxic, and Lord, and also to realize that we too can fall into that category. And so Lord, I pray tonight, as you have laid upon my heart this afternoon, what are we supposed to do for those that are toxic? And I ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. Let's begin reading verse number 10. Again, we read this about 7-8 weeks ago, if not a little longer. And it says, "And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters." Look at this last part. "Because they were made bitter." I begin to think about briefly this afternoon as I begin to really go into a lot of meditation and a lot of praying this afternoon as far as, God, please give me direction and how you want me to handle this. And so I begin to really listen to God and how he's speaking to me. There are several ways why a believer may become toxic in a church. One I'm going to deal with just real briefly, and that first one that we're going to deal with is depression. So many times there are people in churches that will fall into depression. And when they fall into depression, they begin to really go off by themselves. They begin to exclude everybody else, and they're off all alone by themselves. And they begin to think about some things, and when they begin to think about some things through the depression, here's what normally happens. Sometimes they can become angry, and then they can become very bitter, which is why at the last part of this verse it says, "Because they were made bitter," which is why many men died because of the water that was polluted that day because of the wormwood. The reason why there are toxic believers is because there is bitterness within the soul of an individual. And be quite honest with you, there's no place for bitterness to take up inside of a believer's heart. For this reason, because we have an avenue that we can go to today to help us get rid of that bitterness, whether it be towards, let me use an example, let it be towards someone out in the world, towards a coworker, and let's bring it into the family. If there's a family member that we have become mad at and become angry and become bitter, we are to, you know, go to them. Any other person that we become bitter at is towards the church believer, but God has given us the ability to do what? To go to him. To go to him. Why do you think most churches end up in splits today? Because all it takes is one bitter individual. That's all it takes. Why do you think that marriages end up in divorces? Because it just takes one bitter spouse. That's all it takes. And that bitterness can cause an infestation inside the family, and it can cause an infestation inside a body of believers. And before you know it, a church can split wide open. Which is why when you begin to look in Scripture and you begin to go over a lot of the letters that Paul has written, and Paul deals specifically a lot with unity in the church and how a body is supposed to be united with one another. God did not create this body of believers tonight, to be so divisive against each other. God did not create us to begin to go at each other's throats because we don't agree with each other all the time. That's not how God designed the body of Christ to be. If that's your version of what you think a body of believers should be, then you've got the wrong version, to be honest with you. And I understand that we're going to have little spats here and there. I understand that we're not always going to agree on everything. But the one thing that I do know that we should always agree upon is Jesus Christ. And that's what brings us into this fellowship, into this body of unity with one another. And that's what you and I should be desiring. But bitterness begins to creep in every individual's life. Here's another thing that causes bitterness. It's not just depression, because as we begin to focus upon our problems and we begin to have this self-pity for ourselves, and by the way, we have a lot of self-pity for ourselves, do we not? And so we begin to say, oh, woe is me, and nobody else is going through this. Nobody else has to face this situation I'm facing. And now I'm just tired of being depressed all the time, and now I'm just going to go full bull rage, and I'm just going to be bitter towards everybody else. But the other thing that causes depression is a form of jealousy. Being jealous of somebody maybe in a better position or somebody that might be getting looked at more than somebody else. Or you might say that as a sibling, mom and dad's favoring this child more than they're favoring the other children. Or this individual's better at a sport than that individual. By the way, isn't that life? Are we not going to find somebody who's always better than us at something else? I mean, for crying out loud, for the last 3 years, I've been trying to play this game of golf. And I went last night. It was Grace's birthday, and we went to Top Golf. And I'm getting showed up by girls who don't even play. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not fair. They're not out on the golf course. They're not putting in the time. They're not watching YouTube videos and stuff like that. They're not taking lessons from somebody else as you go golfing with them. And all of a sudden, they get up there and they whack the ball farther than I whack the ball. That's not fair. I'm 6'4", 235 pounds plus on a good day. And here they are, 5'4", and I'm not going to give the pounds because that's not good. And here they get up there, and they hit the ball 200, 300 yards, and I'm going 100 yards. And jealousy begins to sit in. Well, if we begin to stew upon somebody else's accomplishments and begin to stew upon how well they are in a sport or how better they might be at teaching or how better they might be at driving or anything like that, of course it's going to cause us to take that step from jealousy into something that we call and we focus on bitterness. Really, when you think about it, all these talents that God has given us, they're temporary things. It's not going to matter a hill of beans when it comes to eternity. And so we begin to blame folks, and we begin to, at times, think about it, we begin to blame God. God, why didn't you give that gift to me? God, why didn't you give that gift of an understanding mind so that I can understand Scripture better than I do right now? God, why didn't you give me that gift of having that the body to go out and do something physical in sports and just to be awesome at it? But yet you decided to give it to somebody else, God. First of all, let me say this. Be comfortable with how God created you and with the gifts and the abilities that God has given you. Because every single one of us are different. God created every single one of us in a different way. But we allow those things, depression, jealousy, to sit in our minds. And then it gets us to a place where we just become so bitter. And when we become bitter, we begin to lash out in hatred. Think about this. Husbands and wives, they'll have arguments. And we're funny at times. And the arguments go back and forth, and the issue hasn't been settled, and all of a sudden the husband will say something to the wife, and the wife will say, "Stop yelling at me." And the husband will say, "I'm not yelling at you." Yeah, you are. See, our bitterness turns into a hatred, and then we begin to lash out at one another. Again, God did not create the body of Christ. Young people, really pay attention to this. God did not create the body of Christ for every single one of us to be angry and to be bitter towards each other. It's not designed that way. Here, I'm looking at two athletes. You know, actually, there's a whole row of athletes right here. But I'm looking at these two boys. You know, you got Avery, who's playing baseball and played basketball and probably thriving at that. But now you got Colton, who's sidelined. He's sidelined because of an injury. And I know Colton a little bit, but I don't think Colton, as he looks at Avery, is he out there in the basketball court, or is he out there in the baseball field with any ounce of jealousy. What I do see, and I do know this, is that he encourages him and cheers him on. You know, that's what we should do with one another. Instead of allowing such bitterness to come in our minds and to be so hateful, you know, when you think about it, Colton has every right to be hateful towards somebody right now who has any type of athletic ability because he's injured and he can't go out and perform those things. But he's not that way. And I thank God for that. And that's really a good example for us to follow. Instead of being so down and so jealous, and he has a right to be depressed. He has a right to be angry. But he's allowing God to work through him so that he doesn't have those things, so he doesn't fall into depression, so he doesn't fall into a world of being a bitter clinger. Because bitterness, not only does it ruin a church, but it ruins friendship. And we should not be that way. Said, the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters. Why? Because they were made bitter. A toxic believer can come into a church and become so bitter that he'll kill everybody off because they don't want to be around that type of a person. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like being around people like that. When my wife and I have intense fellowship, we don't like being around each other. I'm going shopping. That's fine. I'm going to the gym. We do everything that we can to get out of each other's sights for a few moments. Let's be real. Let's be honest. We avoid each other. And we should not be that way. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5 this evening. Because in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go to Ephesians 2 here in a little bit. Toxic people, because of bitterness, because of maybe jealousy that might spur that, maybe because of depression. I'm going to go maybe a little bit further. Maybe they had a bad childhood experience. And they can't let that go. By the way, I've talked to a lot of people, even in this room. There's a lot of people in this room that had bad child experiences. It's your choice to dwell in them. I've heard someone say with such great advice, I can choose to be angry and stay in this state the rest of my life, or I can choose to be happy and move on and not be in bondage to that. Such great advice. You can make your circumstance better. But here's the antidote that we are to be towards a toxic believer. Even though it might be difficult, even though it might be hard at times, we need to do this. It says, but I say unto you, verse number 44, say it out loud with me, these next three words, love your enemies. A toxic believer, believe it or not, will become your enemy. Because of this, they really don't want anything to do with you. They make it known. And we do. We make it known. When we don't want to have anything to do with somebody, we make it known. We publicize it. And through that, we come at odds with one another. And we decide to go our separate ways, but the Word of God says here, this is Jesus talking, says, love your enemies. So how are we to help a toxic believer in a church? One is this, love them. Love them. It's hard to do at times to love somebody that's done something wrong to you, isn't it, Avery? It's tough. You're out there on the practice field, and you're putting in all the hard effort, and you're going an extra mile, then you got some teammates that are lagging behind you, and because of them lagging behind you, you're going to get punished, and you're going to have to do more laps, more push-ups, more jumping jacks, and what that normally does, you get mad at them. Because of their lack of preparation, you're going to have to suffer for it, and you can become mad. But let me give you some advice. Instead of becoming mad at them, say, man, I love them. They're making me stronger. I'm getting extra push-ups in. I'm getting more stamina in because I'm having to do extra laps. But seriously, Jesus says, love your enemies. Then he goes on and says, bless them that curse you. You know, we're supposed to bless people that really don't want anything to do with us. That's hard to do. Have you ever seen, I've seen some videos here lately of pedestrians being pulled over by police officers. And now I believe it's the big thing now to video record everything. And because mainly because some have been mistreated by the police. By the way, you get pulled over, let me just give you this advice. Just comply. They're the law. They're the authority. If you want to question it, go to court. Don't become a bum and become disrespectful. But here's what's taking place. I've seen people become so disrespectful to cops. On the other end of it, I'm seeing cops just trying to be as nice and compassionate as they can be. What are they practicing? Bless them that curse you. That's what they're trying to practice. So when someone's trying to curse you or maybe do you wrong, you're also told in Scripture to turn the other cheek. So bless them that curse you. And I'm speaking, you know, this is really hitting home with me. When God began to change this direction this afternoon, every single finger that I had on my body is pointing back at me. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like that at times. And I got to acknowledge, hey, Chad, you're guilty in some areas. You need to listen to my word. So bless them and curse you. And then it goes on a little bit further. It says, do good to them that hate you. Newsflash. Not everybody loves you. Not everybody likes you. And yes, you do have people who hate you. That's why the Bible says keep your enemies close. So do good to people that hate you. Man, I have come across some pretty irate customers in my line of work. And they come at me at times with such hatred, blaming me for this, that, and everything in their house that has gone wrong. And I just got to go in there, and I got to be as nice and as pleasant as I can be. And believe it or not, I can turn the charm on when I need to. Because if I don't, I'm not kidding you, it goes back to my supervisor. And it goes on paper, and it get written up. So when those situations come around, I got to put aside my feelings. Hey, man, they're hating me right now. I got to go above and beyond, and I got to do good to them. I got to let them know that I care about their house is flooding right now. I got to let them know that I really care for their feelings at this point in time, even though they might not care for mine. And then it goes on, and I believe this is for a specific reason here. Because I'm going to be honest with you, a majority of the time, when I know that somebody doesn't like me or they're whatever the circumstance may be, I don't pray for them. That's wrong of me. Because my Bible's telling me the opposite. And so when I have somebody that doesn't like me, what am I supposed to do? Well, what the Bible says, pray for them. I've heard my father say this when I was younger. I've heard my mom say this when I was younger, as they've seen me go through some things in my life, and the words will come out like this. Well, have you ever considered praying for them? It's like, come on, that's the last thing I want to hear. And I'm just being honest with my response. But they knew the good it would do for me to pray for an individual that did not like me, that could care less for me. you know what they were teaching me? And it's hard for me to practice this at this age now. But what they're teaching me is this. When you begin to pray for your enemy, your attitude towards them will change. It will change. When you have a sincere heart with a sincere agenda, your attitude towards them will change. I will say this, it doesn't always happen overnight, but if you're to remain faithful in praying for your enemies, your attitude towards them will change. Why do we need to pray for them? Because this, they despitefully use you, and they will persecute you. Pray for them. That's what we need to do. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians tonight, chapter 4. And we'll close out with this. I spoke on this a few weeks ago in Sunday school. And we're going to end it tonight with how we are supposed to, when it comes to dealing with a toxic believer and how they can offend us and, you know, all those other things are involved. We're supposed to pray, as it was mentioned in the last part of that verse of chapter number 5 in the book of Matthew. But after we begin to pray, there's something that needs to take place with ourselves. Because when we begin to focus and when we begin to dwell on somebody's hatred towards us or somebody's bitterness towards us, guess what that makes us? Hateful and bitter towards them. The word says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31, says, let all bitterness... Hold on, let me back up to verse number 30. Because I want to point this out, because I believe I'm talking to a body of believers tonight. And verse number 30 says this. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Do you realize our attitudes towards one another, our ill thoughts, our bitterness towards each other, our hatefulness towards each other at times? Do you know what it does to the Holy Spirit of God? It grieves him. It grieves him. So as we continue, this says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now here's what we're supposed to do. Let all bitterness. Let me stop here. You know what the problem is? You know why we dwell on things? You know why we don't let things go? Because we're not practicing Scripture here. Because my Bible says, let all. You know what we do? We give some. And we leave some. Which is why there is a continuing cycle of bitterness. There's why there's a continual cycle of hatred towards one another. Which is why it leads to a continued cycle of a toxic believer inside of a church. Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You mean I'm not supposed to be talking bad about one another? No. Folks, I'm guilty. I am guilty. I have spoken evil of some people. I have been bitter towards people. I've had anger towards people. But the Bible says, be put away from you with all malice. And here is the antidote that we are to be towards one another, even a toxic believer, because the last thing that we want to do is allow Satan to come in here and to destroy this church. So number one, we pray for them, back in Matthew chapter 5. Now we are to be kind one to another. How are we to be kind to one another? Well, a couple weeks ago, I think it was last week, we talked about the power of our words. You know, we can be kind by the very things that come out of our mouth. Speaking well of each other. Tender-hearted. Well, what does tender-hearted mean? Meaning having a soft spot in your heart for them. It's the best way for me to describe that. Third thing here is mentioned in the scripture. It says, forgiving one another. Here's why we have this vicious cycle of bitterness and hatefulness and a toxic believer right here. Because we're not willing to forgive. We expect people to forgive us, but we're not willing to forgive others. You know what makes a successful marriage last for so long? I've looked back at my mom and dad. They've been married 53 years, 54 years, a long time. How do they get that far? One, through good cooking. Just seeing if you guys are still listening. But seriously, how do you achieve that? Because of forgiveness. Husbands and wives, they don't always get along. They don't always see eye to eye. They don't always agree on everything. There's things that my wife and I, we don't always agree on everything, believe it or not. But what gets us to the year 28 that's going to be coming up for us is this: forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiving one another, why? Because even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Are we going to have a church at times that has a toxic believer? Yes. Are we going to have a time with a church of believers that are going to be bitter towards one another? Yes. It's going to happen. Why? Because we're people. We're human. But we can nip it in the bud by practicing what the Bible says to do. Plain and simple. Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the key. That's the key. That's what we need to do. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be here tonight. God, I thank you so much for changing my direction tonight, for something that I needed to hear, for something that I need to practice in my life. And so, God, I pray for the compassion that you have upon me that I'm able to have upon others as well. For the kindness and the tenderheartedness and the love that you have for us. God, help me to be Christ-like and have that towards other brothers and sisters in Christ. And not even just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but, Lord, people in this world that need you. But, God, help me. God, I ask you, you know I struggle in this category. God, help me to be forgiving the way that you are so forgiving to us. We've offended you in so many ways. We've ridiculed you. We've mocked you. We've drug your name through the mud. We've been disobedient. We haven't been faithful the way that we should. But God, every time we come to you, you forgive us. And here's what I love so much about your forgiveness. You never throw it back in my face the next day. So God, help me to be forgiving. But Lord, help me to be like you in this area too, and putting those things behind my back the way you do with my sins. And I ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.